Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 138. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. I'm joined first by Jerem Jordan of BYU TV and BYU Radio fame. We talk with him about the resurgence of the BYU Cougars and what that win over Gonzaga means for their NCAA tournament chances. We also talk a little football scheduling, and a little Jimmer. It's then on to Matt and I, and we talk about what's going on with the NFL Combine and some of the impressions that some former Cougars may have made. We also talk basketball and what we think of their NCAA tournament chances. And we also talk about what Tom Homo has been discussing as he makes his annual tour with the press. Once again, this is the Rise and Shout podcast. You can always catch us at loyalcougars.com. Please download us on iTunes, and you're going to listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the podcast, BYU Sports Nation co-host and producer at BYU TV, Jerem Jordan. Jerem, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be back on the show.
You know, when we had you on the show, which was a while ago, it was last August before the football season started, you were kind of a nobody, Jerem. Yeah, you were kind of a nobody.
And I think I'm still a nobody.
Now you're a big shot. You're a big shot. Even so big, you unfollowed the podcast on Twitter. What happened, Jerem?
Yeah, I expected you to call me out on that, and I have no excuse.
All of a sudden, I try to send you a direct message.
I'm
going to
blame it
like,
on my 8-month-old must have unfollowed that. That was weird. I don't know why that happened.
You know, they're getting really good with technology, even young, working the phones and all that kind of stuff. So one thing before we get started on the talk, I do try to listen to the BYU Sports Nation show. You and I were talking about this before we started recording, and I would encourage, of course, not in place of the Rise and Shout podcast, but in addition to the Rise and Shout podcast.
Do both.
There's enough love. But anyway, you guys do a great job. So a call
Thank
out
you.
To any of our listeners who haven't jumped on that bandwagon, which, of course, you can stream it online. You can listen to it live on BYU Radio or XM. Which channel is it? XM 140?
143. And soon to be simulcast next week on BYU TV, at least from Las Vegas.
That's awesome.
March 6th, 7th, 10th, and 11th will continue on BYU Radio, but it's also going to be on BYU TV, so we're extremely excited about that.
So they're just going to show Spencer's face or you too?
Yeah, I'll just have a cardboard cut out where I would be. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be like Mike and Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't look into the camera. We don't cater to the visuals. It's a radio show on TV. Just like Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike or the Dan Patrick Show, they do that now too. So pretty cool.
Yep, yep.
Well, let's talk about your trip to Vegas coming up here. So if I had you on the show a week ago, we would have been talking about how depressing BYU basketball was and how there just wasn't much hope for the NCAA tournament, and man, maybe they're going to be one and done in the West Coast Conference tournament. It would have been very depressing. This week, it feels like everyone, I just saw on one poll, I saw 75% of fans were saying that BYU was going to make the tournament. I don't think it would have been 10% a week ago. So what does this really mean if you look at this team that has been kind of Jekyll and Hyde all season, and we got Mr. Jekyll and Hyde, Matt Carlino, exploding this weekend, and Anson Winder coming out of nowhere. What does this mean? Do we feel like this is a different team that could make a run in the West Coast Conference Tournament and make the NCAA Tournament? Or is this, well, we just had a couple of good games in a row, let's ease the brakes a little bit?
No, this is a get excited time, I think, because BYU is peaking at the right time. They're playing their best basketball. I mean, they beat Texas early in the season. That's a marquee win. BYU's shown flashes of brilliance, but lost games where they couldn't defend well. They gave up 100 to Oregon. They gave up 105 to UMass. I think if BYU played those games again, you wouldn't see triple zeros or 100 plus triple digits. I really like BYU's chances in Vegas. They first have to get through San Diego, which has proven to be a tough matchup for the Cougars in the past on the road. Ask Gonzaga last week.
Yeah.
But if BYU can get through that, I mean, they're on the bracket plays out perfectly as of now. You hope that BYU finishes as the 2 and that San Francisco finishes as the 3 because there's a team that is a tough matchup but that I would rather play than St. Mary's just because of BYU's history with St. Mary's. This year has proven to be good against the Gales, but I'd rather play the Zones in the semifinal and then possibly Gonzaga, who you feel like you could beat on a neutral court in Vegas. And so it's been since 2001, the last time BYU won a conference tournament, but a couple weeks ago I had this weird feeling like, hey, what if this is the year where BYU actually wins that tournament title game? And they've almost put themselves in a position to maybe get an at-large if they went out and play a competitive title game against Gonzaga and lose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Lunardi's got them as not even having to do one of the play-in games, which, you know, take that for what it's worth. I mean, he's pretty good, yeah. But you can always be wrong, and you never know what the committee's going to do. But I'm with you. A few weeks ago, I had Jason Franchuk on the program, and he was saying maybe this is the year. It's the year no one expects that you can sometimes surprise in the conference tournament. Certainly being the 2 seed and having St. Mary's as the 4th seed would be helpful, though Matthew Dellavedova is not walking through that door to help them.
That's exactly right. The mouthpiece is retired. It's over, baby.
Yeah, it's all over. So let's talk about the tournament. You know, one of the complaints that BYU fans have had about independence is on the basketball side, these venues that they play in. And, you know, I've heard mixed reviews for the Orleans in Vegas. What's your take on that piece of it? Is this, I mean, they go down to Vegas. It's a much smaller venue than the Marriott Center or some of the other venues that BYU used to play in the Mountain West and the WAC, though not that much different, honestly, than Wyoming. Much nicer, probably, than Wyoming. So tell me, what's your take on that? Is it a cool place to see the tournament? I haven't gone yet since they joined the West Coast Conference, so I haven't experienced that. Is this a cool place to see it? Are fans missing out on a cool experience, or do we really need and hope that they relocate to a little better venue in the future?
I think it's fine. I wouldn't say it's great. I wouldn't say it's terrible. It's a minor league hockey venue in a casino, It is what it is. The Pac-12 plays in the MGM Grand. I can't imagine that that's much better. Thomas and Mack is a basketball arena, and so naturally that's going to be better just because it's built for that thing. But I've been there 4 years in a row. This will be my 4th year, I guess. BYU actually did some games the year before BYU was even in the conference, and we've been back since, and then this year we're going to do a record 12, which we're really excited about. I think it's fine. I don't think that it has any impact on the way BYU plays and whatnot. I'll tell you this. I definitely prefer it to playing in the Thomas and Mack against UNLV. That's for sure. It's funny because UNLV fans will still show up and kind of razz BYU fans there. It's like, you don't have anything better to do?
No, actually, they do not. They do not, Jeremy. They're hanging out with the San Diego State fans, and they have nothing better to do
exactly.
Than to troll BYU.
The show. Yeah. The show shows up just to razz BYU.
Yeah, just to razz BYU. So, you know, I'll if I ever get a chance, my brothers and I have talked about doing a weekend that weekend of the tournament one of these days out in Vegas, especially being in a casino. I mean, the Mormons just lining up on the outside.
Yeah,
to get in.
It is crazy. BYU fans just pulling levers, going to basketball games, throwing chips. It's wild.
It's a crazy time, I'm sure. So let's talk about Mr. Winder for a second before we switch to other topics. So a couple of weeks ago, he was kind of left for dead. I mean, he wasn't playing a whole lot. He wasn't necessarily playing very well when he did play, though he had spurts. I mean, but these last few games, it's been kind of what I thought he would be as a role on the Cougars from the beginning. You know, a guy that could play some perimeter defense, but also, you know, add something offensively. You seem enthusiastic about this team kind of peaking at the right time. Is Anson Winder peaking at the right time? Did Coach Rose just not use him correctly in the first half or more of the season? How do you take? What's your take on Winder's role going forward?
It's hard to explain what happened. I mean, you put him in the starting lineup after he's had some moments where he's been good. You know, he started for an inch of Tyler Haws against Mount St. Mary's, Colorado Mesa, scored I think 18 plus in both those games. But those are weaker competitions, so you wonder how much that plays a factor.
Sure.
At Santa Clara, Tyler Haws gets two fouls. Anson scores 16 in the first half, just goes off. He's in the zone. I don't even think he scores in the second half. But other than that, like he hasn't done anything that stuck out all year. Then Dave Rose makes the most, let's give him credit for this, the most like humble coaching move ever. It's hard to tinker with your starting lineup at the end of the year because you admit that maybe something hasn't been working.
Yeah.
And then it's like crazy. Hey, I changed something and it worked. Like, brilliant. Yeah, make adjustments. Who cares, you know? So he puts Anson Winder in the starting lineup because he sees some matchup that he lost with Gonzaga, and then he keeps it for the next game against Portland. And he is really good in both of those games. He has a game-high 17 against Gonzaga, including 10 free throws. He's aggressive and goes to the rim in a game where it's at home. BYU gets some calls, and then he continues that against Portland. He's earned the starting job for the rest of the year. Like, he's in. If Skylar Halford could start, like, 8 or 10 games based on a game or two, then Anson's starting the rest of the way. So he's peaking at the right time. I think you're right. He's peaking at the right time. Part of the reason that BYU is playing so well is because several different guys have risen to the surface. Matt Carlino has a game, has a great game. Anson Winder plays well. You don't need Tyler Haws and Kyle Collinsworth to score a combined for 45 to 50 points. They've scored less in the last two games combined than Carlino and Winder have.
Yeah,
which
I know.
Which is refreshing,
it's crazy.
Because you know Tyler Haws can do it whenever. He can do it whenever. Kyle's not a guy that goes 20-plus. He's a guy that goes 15. But you haven't had to have that. You have a little bit of Mika. So I think that the balance and the offensive scoring for this team has been huge, but they played way better on defense. Like, Anson Winder changed the perimeter D for BYU to where the last couple games they've given up 57, 65, and 72. And that's really been a difference because BYU is going to outscore people. They will. They're a top five scoring offense.
Yeah, I think people, that's something I think when I look at at Cougar Board or on Twitter, fans complain not just about the defense, but the offense. And my response always is the offense is fine. Our problem is,
oh my gosh,
our problem
is one of the
defense.
Best offense BYU ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you know, there's not that, obviously you have that top player, in Haws, but I think, you know, there's not a lot of elite scoring behind him, you know, and you get it from different people. So sometimes it's a little bit of, I guess, a mirage from the fans' point of view, but whatever works, you gotta, as a team, score the points. So you brought up Mika just briefly in your comments. What's this guy's upside? I mean, I see him at his best and think this could be, you know, top two or three big man to play at BYU. That's what I think the upside is. What do you see him as? Obviously he's got mission plans and there's other things that will factor in here, but. But what can he be, especially if he can learn not to foul so much in the first 3 minutes of a half?
Well, what's great is Dave Rose has mitigated that by he just cut out the system of the WCC refs. He just puts in Josh Sharp or Luke Gordon. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in sports. He just puts them in, he gets their fouls, and then he puts Eric in.
I know. It's hilarious. Awesome. It's awesome.
So I think Mika, you said top two or three. I think top five. There have been some really good post players at BYU. I think he can fit into that category somewhere. I would classify Brandon Davies as a top 10 guy. So that gives you an idea of maybe where Mika would stand compared to Davies. I think that by the end of Eric Mika's career at BYU, he gets drafted. If Trent Plaisted can get drafted in the second round, Eric Mika is at least that good.
Yeah.
And I think that BYU will have some really, I think he plays on two teams that win multiple games in the tournament. It's where he is exposed and then he gets drafted. And maybe comes out after his junior year if things are going well. Who knows?
Yeah.
His skill set is amazing. He, like, you just look at him, he looks like an athlete. Like, he's probably first team all BYU and just looks
right.
For a post guy of all time. Like, he is cut. And he has energy. He can run the floor. He can block shots. The way that he's been used this year has been similar to what Dave Rose wanted, which was McKelly Wesley freshman year, kind of a 13-8 guy. Not the main guy, but he's been leaned on in some games and done pretty well. And I think BYU figured some things out with him. He'll go on his mission to Rome, Italy, and he is going to be terrifying to West Coast Conference teams because guess what? you're going to have so many other offensive weapons around him that he is going to be able to go one-on-one because there's going to be too many three-point shooters. I mean, it's going to be crazy after his mission. The Lone Peak kids, Peyton Dastrup, it's going to be ridiculous.
That 2016-17 season could be something awesome, and they won't have the depth issues in theory that they have now, especially on the bigs, so that he'll have a little help behind him. So, other related question: top five all time lip syncer Luke Worthington. Yes, no, BYU top five lip syncer. I mean, he's put some of those videos. He puts down some pretty mean performances, I have to say.
I think Gary Trost is also in that conversation, and Keena Young was also good. So, of all the lip syncs that we've had, Luke probably goes in top.
Yeah,
five. Matt Montague had a few good lip syncs. Oh wait, this year has been the only year of lip syncs.
This has been the only. I'm sure some of them have done it. At some Ward Talent
Nathan
show.
Nathan Call, he was all right.
Yeah, Nathan whatever. Call was all right. Wesley was actually way underrated as a lip syncer. People didn't realize. The skills.
I thought it was a terrible lip sync. It was awful.
And Jimmer was terrible too. I mean, he could do everything else. But speaking of, you guys talked about it on your show today. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Looks like Jimmer may get freed from Sacramento. If you could pick one team for him to go to, what team are you picking?
Lakers. In that system, he doesn't have to play defense. I don't like the Lakers, but he wouldn't have to play defense. So,
which is good.
All the defensive haters, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So he could just run and gun and shoot threes, and it'd be great. So I'll go with Lakers. What do you think?
I'm going with Memphis. I think he'd be a good fit. That's what people are saying too. Basically any playoff team that needs a 3-point shooter, which is kind of everybody, right? You can always use another shooter. I don't want him to go to the Knicks because I hate the Knicks with a passion, and I don't want to have to like the Knicks, even if it's for half a season. I just don't want to do that. So Tom Homo today did his kind of state of the program discussion with some of the reporters that covered the team. He was also on your show this morning as well. He talked about a bunch of different things. We're not going to hit on all of them, but one of the things he talked about was scheduling. And I know that a lot of fans look at that 2014 schedule and kind of start yawning. And you guys talked about this today, Jeremy. I don't yawn. I mean, it's not the greatest schedule ever, but not every schedule is going to be as good as that 2013 or even maybe what 2015 will be. But it's a decent schedule. Got some excitement on it. But how hard is Homo's job in this scheduling? When you're in a conference, 8 or 9 of your games are done for you. So, I mean, he's the only one in the nation that has quite as unique as him, and obviously the other independents, but he's got a little different. How tough is this for Homo?
He's got to have the toughest job in America in terms of scheduling. Army, Navy, Notre Dame, they've all kind of been doing this and have long storied traditions with certain teams. And so for him to develop these new relationships with, you continue some with Utah State and then Utah bills on BYU, but they still have Notre Dame. But then you have to go and find all these different teams. And like yesterday, Monday on True Blue, he said the final home game, he was holding out for a different Division I opponent, and it didn't happen. So Savannah State comes in. I mean, all the stresses of that to combine this, not to mention having to fill 12 games every year. It's got to be extremely tough. I think he does a really good job. Like, I know I work at BYU, but I think that Tom Homo does a really good job with putting these together. Because I asked him this morning on the radio, BYU Sports Nation, I said, "What is your greatest fear scheduling too tough?" And he said, "Too tough or too weak," which I thought was interesting. And so 2014 is, I think that 2014 is a good balance. Because guess what? Last year was too tough. It was. It was fun to challenge ourselves, but it was too tough. So it only yielded 8 wins. Like, I would rather win 10 games, no matter who we play, every single year, but have a couple of challenges. Like, at Texas is a challenge. At Boise State. At Central Florida. Like, that's enough. Maybe you have one more big team on there, that I would feel like, okay, that's the perfect schedule. But it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, November we have a Pac-12 team on the road. Obviously, the game in Texas. Houston is, I mean, they're a decent program. That's not a pushover. And as you mentioned, Central Florida, I think that's probably the underrated game on the schedule. And Boise, of course, they're in a state of a little bit of flux, so I don't know what we'll see out of the Broncos this year, but it's still challenging to go play
on
that.
They're a name, yeah.
Yeah, and play on that terrible turf. So one of the other things about this schedule, Jerem, is the lack of the bowl game at the end of the rainbow. It sounds like something's locked in, but he can't talk about it yet. Any read on what that is? I mean, my total guess out of his comments was that it was the Armed Forces Bowl, but just because he said it like matches our values or something, but that's just Adam off in fantasy land. Any idea about that or when we might know? Because I know some people, it's a little nervous because you could get to the end of the year in theory and win games and still not go to a bowl game.
Well, this I know, and because I'm inside, I can't say everything, but BYU knows what they're doing, and they have an exciting matchup with something that ESPN is hooking them up with. I'll say that much.
Fantastic. All right, I feel warm and fuzzy inside, Jerem, so
yeah, it's unique. It's unique, and I think Cougar fans will like it.
Cool. All right, we'll get you out on.
How's that for a tease?
I like that. I like that. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the big reveal. I'm sure it'll be on Sports Nation. You're not going to break it on this Rise and Shout podcast. I get it. So one last thing. The combine has come and gone. There was, you know, Vannoy did well. Hoffman did okay. Manu Maliuna did well. And he's a guy that I think has a bright future in the NFL. Daniel Sorensen goes and is very impressive in the combine. I think outperformed what his draft rank was going in, which was undrafted free agent or thereabouts, end of the seventh, something like that. Does pretty well. Could this be a year where, I mean, BYU has not had many drafts with four guys drafted. Could this be the year that Daniel Sorensen, because I think Hoffman and Vannoy are pretty solid. Of course, Vannoy is, but pretty solid to be drafted. Manu Maliuna has a good chance, depending on how folks view him. Could this be a year where four slip in and Sorensen kind of the unheralded NFL prospect?
Yeah, I think he'll play in the league. I'm not sure that Daniel Sorensen will get drafted, but his special team skill set is silly. Like, yeah, he's a first-team All-American special teamer. We've had conversations with him where we said, What's it like for you on special teams, you know? And he said, I'll watch NFL games, and I just think, why can't they just catch it right there? Like at the goal line, just catch the ball. Get down there and catch it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really simple to him. I don't know if he's drafted, but I see him playing in the league. I think he's a better player than Andrew Rich was, and Andrew Rich was getting a really strong look from the Cardinals to where he could have maybe made the 53. I think Daniel Sorensen's a better player than Rich, who was a really good player and could play. Now, in terms of how many guys get drafted, I could see as few as one with Vannoy and as the most with three. That's kind of my sure. feeling with this. But I think all five guys will be on rosters, whether that's actual practice squad or 53, in the fall. And four. I hope Wani Unga can become the fifth and kind of recover, impress in interviews this week since he didn't do anything physically, because he's a guy that could play in the league.
Yep. Yeah, he definitely, if he's healthy, he's got the skills. Sorensen, just watching him cover punts, quite frankly, was one of my favorite things to do.
He was so good.
He was just, and I talked with a guy that covers, does some NFL scouting and draft scouting, and he was blown away watching the tape. He said, you don't usually ever see guys stick out on special teams, because in college, a lot of times, the starters aren't used, right? Because they want to protect them from injuries, so you don't see the starting safety as the gunner going down the field, making spectacular stops at the one with the ball, and also sticking guys if they decide not to do the catch. So, well, Jerem, thanks for coming on again. This has been, as always, enjoyable, and we will once again direct folks to BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio and XM 143, and simulcast on BYU TV next week leading up to the
Yeah,
West Coast Conference tournament?
Starting Thursday. Yep, starting Thursday, March 6th, simulcast. 6th, 7th, 10th, and 11th, and we'll see you after that.
Fantastic. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to your success. I'm pretty sure it was coming on the podcast that that really vaulted you to that next level. So you got
I
the
think
podcast
it was.
Bump.
It was just a few weeks before, and my boss came to me and said, I heard you on the Rise and Shout podcast. We need to take this to the next level. And I was like, all right, let's do it.
And then he heard me as well, and he said, oh, gosh, please, Jerem, do not go on that podcast again for the love of all that's holy. But
that did not happen.
Anyway, thanks again for coming on, Jerem. It will not be this many months before we have you on again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and keep up the good work.
All right. So, Matt, it's Rise and Shout podcast time, and favorite Olympic moments. I'm kind of sad. I'm having Olympic withdrawals.
I'll tell you, non-sports related favorite Olympic moment was at the closing ceremonies when they had the people lining up in the rings and they left the top right one as a little dot. Did you see that?
No. I don't watch the opening and closing ceremonies.
They absolutely made a joke of the technical issue or whatever it was that they had during the opening ceremonies.
Well, that's only because they killed that guy, had him executed. Right? That did that? Oh, wait a second. That was on a joke newspaper.
Yeah, that wasn't real.
True.
It didn't actually happen.
My favorite part is when people were calling it a hoax. And I'm like, it's not a hoax. It's a joke newspaper. That's not the same. They didn't actually think people would believe it. So that was a cool moment. I have to say, in all seriousness, in a serious moment, was one of those big crashes on the snowboard cross. I'm just kidding.
The snowboard cross stuff was crazy.
Oh, and the ski cross.
I love that. I love that stuff. Oh. Those people, that takes some guts.
That takes some guts. I love watching that one, and I've watched it in the X Games. I'm not a big X Games guy. I'll watch some if it's on and I'm flipping around. But if the snowboard cross is on, I'm in. You got me, ESPN, or in this case, NBC. I was on it. But we have Comcast.
Oh, which, Communist Cast.
Yeah, which I hate. But one of the good things is they had on-demand Olympic stuff, so you could go back and watch, not everything, like some of the big stuff they didn't do, like ice skating and your favorite ice dancing.
I'll be honest, when we get to it in a minute, I'm going to talk about ice dancing.
Oh my gosh, you're killing me. This is an ice dancing-free podcast.
Not for long.
Oh, good golly. That was pretty cool. Another thing is, quite frankly, as much as I hated to see the U.S. lose, I know how much it means for Canada and the people of Canada to win the gold in men's hockey. And I'm not even going to talk about the women's hockey game. That was terrible. But the men's Canadian hockey team was dominant, and I would rather seen the U.S. win, but...
We didn't win the gold in that shootout?
No, but that was one of the that was one of the coolest hockey games I've ever seen. It really was. I know we already talked about this last week, but it was awesome. So was your cool. Famous ice dancing moment, which I'll just edit out anyway, but go ahead.
Hey, in all seriousness, the golden ice dancing, they scored the highest score ever for an ice dancing routine.
What did you say?
It's pretty good.
And I also enjoyed the controversy about the medal in the girls or women's, I should say, figure skating.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's not a controversy; it is a subjective sport, folks. You know what I mean? It's like until you can prove that there was some malfeasance, it's not a controversy. It's just a difference of opinion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like in boxing where I scored differently, you know. Well, I guess
but
it's not like boxing.
But that's the name of the game when
but
you get into when you get into that. And I think, you know, it's a widely misunderstood thing by people outside the sport, I think, especially, right? Because I don't really understand how that scoring
Oh, I don't.
Works.
I have no idea. How
it works. I don't get it. You know, but, you know, I most of what I watch is you either score more goals, you get there first. You know what I mean? Like it's clear to everybody who the winner is. You know, every once in a while you can argue about if somebody was out or safe or those kinds of things, but So maybe there is some subjectivity in all sports, but...
But not the scoring, right?
Not
the scoring,
to that level, right?
The scoring is pretty clear in most sports. I mean, in hockey, unless, of course, you dislodge the net by just a hair.
And it's international play versus the NHL. Yes,
it counts. The goal hits the net, it counts. But, yeah, it was kind of interesting. But the Olympics as a whole, I'll miss them. I'm looking forward to the ones in Brazil for the Summer Games.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
And
we should go.
As someone who's traveled to Brazil on business several times, the answer is no, I'm not going. That country is going to be insane during the Olympics. And Rio is not the safest place on the planet. I'll put it that way. But if it was in Goiás or Mato Grosso, I'd go. Those are beautiful places. I like Brazil.
Were you just speaking Portuguese?
No.
I couldn't understand what you were saying. I didn't recognize those city names.
Anybody that said that speaks, I'm sure we've got some Portuguese, Brazilian missionaries laughing at my very Spanish pronunciation of Portuguese. So not as much as some of the people I work with down there laugh when I try to speak Portuguese, though. I asked the word, I guess, for, and I'm going to get this wrong, but there's a word that's very similar to bread, and I think it's like pounding or something. It's a verb. And so I said I'd like to have some bread, but apparently I said I'd like to have some pounding. So I don't even know what that means. But anyway, my Portuguese needs some work. So, Matt, when we last spoke, we were both pretty much dead set against BYU is not going to make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Barring some crazy run in the West Coast Conference tournament, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Finished. Kaput. Matt, I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament.
I think you're insane.
They just beat Gonzaga.
The only way they make the NCAA tournament is if they run the table at the conference tournament.
No, you're crazy. Lunardi has them in right now as an 11th seed. He's never wrong. Okay, that's not true. But,
okay.
But I think if they can get to the championship game, win their half of the bracket, and even if they lose to Gonzaga, I think they're in. My hope is springing eternal, Matthew.
You really think the WCC right now is a two-conference, is a two-tourney team conference?
I think this conference is actually better than it's been. It's not as top-heavy, but I think the quality from... 1 to 10 now? 11? Is higher than it's been in these previous seasons since we've been out. I mean, part of that is because, you know, Gonzaga and St. Mary's and us are not as good as we maybe have been. But some of these other teams, they're okay, Matt. They're not terrible pushovers like they were a couple years ago. And I think that will factor in. The other part is we've got a good out-of-conference resume. You know, we've got a good resume. I think we could squeak in. I mean, a lot of this depends on what happens in other tournaments, right? If some eighth seed in, you know, the Missouri Valley or whatever wins out and then they end up having to put in two teams, stuff like that, we may get hosed. But I think we got a good chance. Now I'm going to say that and then we're going to like... We're gonna lose to
Santa Clara in the first round.
San Diego this week and Santa Clara in the first round or something, and it'll all be over. But I am optimistic today. I am optimistic.
I think getting to 20 wins helps.
Yes.
So I think that works in our favor. You know, the shift of records and things around the bubble probably does help. But I think that, you know, like you said, if one of these other teams from, say, Missouri Valley or one of these other conferences has a run or has a surprise showing in their conference tournament, anything like that in this team, all chances are out the window.
Yes.
Because sure. I think right now they're still a long shot.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, pessimist. Fair enough. But let's talk Anson Winder. Left for dead. Kind of not really involved. All of a sudden, surprise, add to the starting lineup. Two games in a row, he's been a key cog. Not just offensively, he's scored points and been the second leading scorer over that time period behind Mr. Ice, Fire and Ice Carlino, but he's playing great defense, and we have not had great perimeter defense so far this year. So, Matt, Anson Winder, is he, you know, we talked about Carlino being the key to this team, if he could be the fourth wheel to with Mika and Hawes and Collinsworth. Is it really Winder? Is he the key at this point to whether my optimism shines through or whether your pessimism bears out?
Maybe. I'd say what I love most of what I've seen recently is 10 for 10 from the charity stripe.
Yeah. It's good to have somebody else hitting free throws in there.
Yeah. And so, I think that's big. If I look back and think about, some of the predictions we made about who that step up player is, I don't know that that either of us predicted this one.
Nope.
But I think down the stretch, if this team is going to make a run, he could turn out to be the difference maker.
Yeah, I think he could. I mean, he really badgered Pangos, and we need somebody that can at least slow down the best perimeter player on the other team. I mean, they don't have to be lights out. I'm not looking you to be like Emery or somebody. I don't need that elite guy, but we need somebody that can slow him down. So it's not El Toro, defense going on the perimeter. So Matt, that's basketball. We love it. We're looking forward to the West Coast Conference. Hopefully they beat San Diego, and the next week we're previewing and arguing about how well we think they'll do in the conference tournament. So let's go to the tweet bag, Matt. We have some excellent tweet bag questions. So we've got two on one topic, and I'm throwing this one out. Yeah, this was not on our pre-agreed upon agenda.
No, but I love it when you do this.
But I'm going to do it anyway. Jimmer, according to ESPN and several other news sources, is likely to receive a buyout from the Sacramento Kings. Halla-frickin-luya. That's all I have to say about that. So Justin Sweeney, that's at Justin D. Sweeney, asks, could you think of a better B-Day present for Jimmer? Because this is actually his birthday as well.
Oh, happy birthday, Jimmer.
That's right. Happy birthday, number 25.
I'm sure he listens to the podcast.
Every week. Every single week. Can you think of a better present than being bought out by the horrendous Kings? Matt, my answer is no.
Oh, dream scenario.
Dream scenario.
Well, get him out of there. Get him out of there. I mean, it is just not, it's not going to happen there.
No, it's not going to happen. And as we saw with, a few weeks ago with that game against the Knicks, this guy's still got it. And he has been wasted. I'm not saying he's like a perennial all-star or superstar, but you cannot tell me in a league in which there are a bunch of specialist three-pointers that he could not go to a team and score in double digits and sit there on the perimeter and knock down some long threes. The only people that would say that attend the University of Utah and San Diego State. Any rational person would say, yes, he could do that. He's proven he can do that. The Kings just won't ever give him a chance to do that.
No, they won't. I think what would be awesome is if some team kind of looking to make a playoff run and need somebody like that to come in off the bench were to pick him up. I mean,
well,
that would be an awesome story.
That leads to our next tweet bag question, Matt. The Irish Mexican, not to be outdone by Mr. Sweeney, came up with another question for us. So why don't we do a little draft, Matthew, where we decide what teams he's going to go to? All right?
Okay.
Let's look. I'm pulling up the standings of the NBA. Cause
I'm just going to flat out just admit I'm not a huge, don't watch a lot of NBA.
All right. Well, I'll start
first.
Which
is going to come out glaringly clear in just a minute.
Yeah, if you say the Seattle Supersonics, you're going to just tick off a bunch of people from Seattle. So don't say that.
Why? Right. They don't want Jimmer to come play for the Sonics?
Yeah.
Oklahoma, I think he and City, Sean maybe. Kemp would be a great combo.
Yes, they would. Kemp in the middle, dishing it out to Jimmer. That would be good. All right, so I'll go first. We'll do a snake
draft. Who else was up there with Sean Kemp?
Who else? Gary Payton, man.
Gary Payton, that's who I was trying.
The glove.
Yeah.
The glove, yeah. All right, so I am going to pick first. I am going to pick a borderline playoff team, the Memphis Grizzlies, as a good fit. Matt, you're up. Two teams. We'll each pick three.
Houston Rockets.
Oh, you're such a homer. You just want to see him.
I would go see him play. I would buy tickets. If Jimmer played down here, I would absolutely buy tickets.
Of course you would. Of course you would. All right, so another team after Houston. And they are currently would be the third seed in the West.
New York Knicks.
I'm serious,
obviously, about that one.
Stop.
I think that's a team that's had some struggles. But they have a lot of the right pieces.
Oh, stop. You made me ill. The Knicks. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'd rather.
But think about it. You know, if you're trying to look at a team, if you're looking for a team that needs somebody who can come in, especially somebody who's not looking to be a superstar necessarily, but can come in off the bench and score some points, it could be a good fit. Now, they might be beyond repair at this point, the Knicks.
Yeah, they probably are, but he could get a chance to play for half a season and play for his next contract.
Exactly, and that's all that would be.
All right. You're probably right. I don't have to like it. And if you pick Miami with your next one, I'm going to virtually punch you in the face.
Oh, I get three picks?
Yeah, we each get three picks. So I get my third, though, first. It's a snake draft. My second and my third here first there, buddy. I am going to go with my second pick is Minnesota.
Oh, jeez.
Apparently so. I could see him play and go to a couple of games. And then my last pick, my third pick, would be I think there's several good fits in the East. There's some East teams with losing records that would currently make the playoffs. But I'm going to say Charlotte. I'm going to say Charlotte would be a decent fit. Matt, your last pick. And I know because you're evil, you're thinking about either the Heat or the Lakers.
Well, listen, I get a lot of Jazz stuff in my Twitter timeline.
So you just want to send them to the Jazz.
So I would like to throw out the Jazz, but I don't know that Jimmer is going to take the Jazz to the playoffs at this point.
No, and...
the Jazz need to tank it.
Well, that's true. And we don't want any more Ute fans booing small children in BYU or Jimmer paraphernalia. So,
man.
Well, come on. I mean, that's... I'm sorry, if you boo Santa Claus, children, you deserve whatever I dish out. That's right, I'm looking at you, University of Utah and Philadelphia Eagles fans. That's right. That's right, I am.
I'll tell you where I think would be a fun place for him to go is Golden State.
You don't get four picks.
No, I was kidding with the Jazz.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I don't think so.
No.
The Jazz already decided they didn't want him, right?
Correct.
I think Golden State could be a lot of fun. I'd love to see him play with Steph Curry.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think that would be cool.
That'd be kind of fun. I don't know how that would work, but I don't have to know how it work. I'm not an NBA coach.
It's not my job to figure that out.
No, it's not.
I bring home the groceries.
That's right.
The coach can cook the dinner.
That's right. That's right. I don't even know what that means. So Matt, let's move from one professional sport to another and move to the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Move to the NFL.
You and I love the NFL. And if there's one thing that we love talking about the NFL, it's the NFL draft.
Yes.
And we have potentially... Well, let me throw a tweet bag question at you. Okay?
Tweet bag.
This is also from Mr. Justin Sweeney. Okay, he has many leather-bound books, and his house smells of sweet mahogany. So,
he does have a lot of books. Isn't that one of his Twitter profile pictures? Yeah, he's got a lot of books.
That's what I'm looking at right now. I'm not that creative. So, given the combine performances, is it possible three Cougs get drafted and one of them is not Hoffman? Matt.
Oh.
Vannoy, Manumaliuna, and Sorensen all did pretty well at the combine. I think Hoffman did a little worse than you expect. Not terrible, but he's not as fast as maybe some people thought. Not this week, but in the next coming weeks, we've got a draft expert who's going to talk a little bit about his thoughts on Hoffman. We've talked about Hoffman ad nauseum. But Matt, give me a percentage chance that three Cougs are drafted, or even two, and one of them is not named Cody Hoffman.
I think if you take that down to two, I'd say you have over 50% chance.
Oh, really? That high? I would have gone like 25 or 30. I think at this point, Manu Maliuna, somebody's going to fall in love with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody is going to say, I know he's older, I know he's had some injury history, but if he could stay healthy, he's a guy we can plug in the middle of our line, in that line rotation that NFL teams do, and he will give us good, good 20 snaps a game, you know? And Vannoy obviously is going somewhere, you know, between the end of the first to the beginning of the third round, depends on who you believe. So I believe those two are going to get drafted. I think Hoffman still probably will get drafted. I just, you know, wide receiver's really deep this year, and he just doesn't stand out compared to some of the other folks. But Sorensen, Matt, goes crazy in the combine, running one of those shuttle drills in one of the fastest times of the combine, and one of the fastest times by a defensive back like ever. Remarkable agility. Obviously, he's not a sprinter, straight up sprinting speed, though. He's got pretty good wheels. I mean, we've talked about him making the roster. We believe he'll make an NFL roster, right?
Yes.
Special teams player, if nothing else. Could he be more? Are we underselling Daniel Sorensen?
Well, you know, there are guys that peak at just the right time, and I'm not saying he was a, you know, subpar player at BYU, but
no, listen, he was a good player.
In your football career, if you want to peak at a particular time, right about now or just after this period of time is really when you want that to happen.
Yes.
If you can get into the situation where you're playing at a school like BYU, you can get some attention to your, you know, garner some attention, and you get yourself into a situation with an NFL team where the expectations aren't ridiculously high, and you can shatter those expectations, that's a great situation. And I think he's the type of player that can do it. He's very football smart. He likes to hit. And he's already turning some heads with his performance at the combine.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think, and when you see tape on him, I think people will be very impressed, quite frankly, with what he can bring. And I, you know, and then when I look at Vannoy, I think pick number 29, New England Patriots.
Yes.
But, you know, all joking aside, as much
I will buy that jersey same day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We'll both be wearing it. All my kids will have one, too.
Yeah, I might actually have it tattooed to my back.
That's too much information.
Yeah, a little over the top.
Yeah, a little over the top. But one thing that his versatility, the fact that Bronco lined him up all over the field, that mm-hmm. is what Bill Belichick, and not just Bill Belichick, more and more defensive coaches are saying, I want guys, and Mono Maliuna moved all over the line too. I want guys that can do multiple things. And one of the good things about playing in Broncos defense is you are not a nose tackle or an outside linebacker. You are, if you're good, you are whatever he thinks he can use in that game to win that game.
Yes.
And I think that's great for them. I think, I honestly think that Broncos, a great defensive coach, and I hope this just shuts up all that stuff about that he can't coach people for the NFL.
I'll tell you, if we get three drafted this year, you know,
that has not happened very often in BYU.
No, I think you feel like there's a turnaround here.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So Matt, let's briefly talk about Tom Homo did his kind of state of the union type of thing, and the 2014 schedule, and he talked through that. No big surprises. There may be some moves later on what night things are on, maybe some more Friday or Thursday night games on the schedule. There is that Houston game in Provo is going to be just a handful of days, 5 days after our visit to Texas. So that's going to be a little brutal. Those first 3 weeks could be a little brutal. But after that, we're looking good. So, Matt, you look at this 2014 schedule. He was a little defensive, I think, Homo, because I think some fans are barking at him on Twitter about it. I see this is a fine schedule. It's not great. It's not 2013. It's not 2015. Obviously, it's 2014. But it's, you know what I mean? I don't look at this and go, crap, Homo messed up this year. There's enough good stuff on this schedule.
Well, it's a little bit of a bridge year schedule-wise. I do see that. But it's not 2013, so guess what? We might win 10 games.
Right.
That just was not going to happen last year, given the schedule that we were looking at. And there are some good opponents on here. I think that playing a game in Austin, it will be cool. Getting out to the East Coast, playing Connecticut will be cool. Rematch of the Houston game, I like that. Virginia is a winnable game. I like playing Utah State. I mean, there's a lot on here to like. I can run down the whole thing and talk about each game. We may do that in a little bit in a minute, but I there's a lot on here to like. It's not perfect. Is Savannah State going to really get me fired up? No.
But we're going to have one of those games every year.
Yes.
So, I mean, when people say, oh, Savannah State, I'm like, I don't know what you're expecting that we're never – I mean, are we going to play Michigan, Nebraska, and Texas every week? I certainly hope not.
Michigan, Texas, and Nebraska don't even play schedules like that. They play a Savannah State every year.
Yeah, I don't get too worked up about that. I think if I were a season ticket holder at home, you know, and people have said, oh, it's a terrible home schedule, you get Utah State, which should be a really fun game. Chucky Keaton's coming back. I mean, that's fun. Virginia revenge game. And Houston, if you could have another repeat of the game you saw, with at 50-48 or something,
right.
I think that'd be highly entertaining. Is it the best home schedule? No, it's not the best home schedule, but it's not terrible. So let's stop with the it's terrible stuff. It's just not true. It's not terrible.
Well, it is what it is, right? I mean, a lot of some of these games are set up for other home games, and there's other things that are going on here to get the schedule over the long term to resemble something that we want to. So not every year is going to be perfect, and this year isn't.
No, this year is not. Well,
but it's not the end of the world. Stop
it. It's sometimes on Twitter and the message board it gets a little ridiculous. So Jerem Jordan was just on. He promised that we'll all be happy about the bowl game. He couldn't tell me because he knows, and he'd get in trouble. And he's not willing to get fired over coming on the podcast, which I find ridiculous. Man up, man. I'm just kidding, Jerem.
Yeah, seriously, where's the loyalty?
Where's the loyalty to this podcast you've been on twice? Huh? Come on, brother. So he talked about a few things like that 2014 game and stuff. But one of the things he talked about is the honor code, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was wanted your thoughts on this. As of January 1st, he says, when we receive inquiries from the media about the honor code, we will no longer address them from a campus perspective. And then he goes on to say, no campus spokesman addressing honor code issues, two exceptions, something happens in public, so it's obvious, you know, you've got to address it because it's out there, or if somebody chooses to go public with whatever happened to them. Welcome change, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
I totally agree. I think this is probably overdue, but I'm not going to be one of those that harps on it and just say, good, I think that's how it should be. Right?
Yeah, it's way overdue, in my opinion.
And then he talked about what we talked about a few, maybe last podcast or podcast before, about potentially in conference realignment if players get paid. He points out, and I think this is very valid, Matt, that if that happens, probably BYU's okay. It's got to come out of the budget. But there may be other programs that have to bow out of Division I because their finances, quite frankly, they don't have that much wiggle room to then pay stipends to players. So with that in mind, Matt, if that is the case, which it probably legitimately is, especially in basketball where there's so many Division I teams, is it then worth it? I mean, I'm a proponent of sharing some of the wealth with these guys because they help generate it, and I think that's fair. And I know you're probably a little bit more moderate than me on that. But on the other hand, do we really want to see a bunch of programs dip down to Division II or some other division because they just quite frankly can't do it?
Well, I think that that's going to be true at a lot of schools.
Yeah.
And so we get to a place where the face of college athletics changes a little bit when we introduce that into the equation. So as a concept, I say, you know what, if that's what we've got to do, because football is that, you know, for me, that's the sport I watch the most. So if another sport drops out of Division I, that's not the end of the world to me. You know, and it impacts the athletes on those teams. It impacts recruiting for those sports. You know, and then you got to balance out programs, and so you may lose. You may lose something cool as a result of that, and that's too bad. But I don't think the potential loss there is worth foregoing competing at the Division I level in football.
Oh yeah, I agree with you on that completely. So, well, Matt, this has been a podcast. There is no doubt about it.
Indeed
it has. Indeed it has. So we'll get out on one more tweet bag question from Justin, Matt. Okay.
All right.
Homo stated there would be an alternate unit for 2014. What do you want? He says royal, black, something new. So, Matt, what do you want for that alternative uni in 2014? Very important question.
I want something new.
New. Yes.
Yeah. If he means we'll wear the royal blues again, or we'll do the black uniforms, both of which, in my opinion, are pretty cool.
Yes, I am pro both of them.
Let's shake it up. Like, if we're going to do this, you know, alternate uniform thing, let's really do it.
You know what I want?
What's that?
Throwback bibs.
Oh, you just made me sick. I'm going to need a bib because I just spit up on my shirt.
You don't want throwback bibs?
Let's do the bibs in royal blue. Oh, my barf.
That would be awesome. You know what I really want? Is I want
tan uniforms.
Tan uniforms. I want
khaki.
Stop. Let me, come on. Let me finish. Do I ever interrupt you? Oh, yeah. All the time. So I really want something just totally different, you know? Not predictable. And when they do something like that, it may totally bomb, right? It may be terrible, but give it a shot. And switch to royal blue all the time.
Royal blue all the time. Tradition, spirit, honor on the unis.
Oh my gosh, don't start that again. We don't want to go there. That's a bad place. It's not a happy place, Matt. It's not a happy place. It should be, I guess, because it's spirit, tradition, and honor there. But
yeah, there's some mixed messaging in there.
All right. Well, once again, check out all the great coverage of the Cougars, both, you know, NFL Combine stuff and draft and spring football and, of course, basketball on LoyalCougars.com. We will be back next week with our preview of the WCC tournament. And thanks for downloading and listening. Check us out on iTunes, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!